aren't here, it's like we miss them. They're not here. There's something missing in the body of Christ here. And, you know, when somebody's not here, they're missed. They may not realize that, but it's how it goes. And I also feel bad for people who eat and then leave and don't listen to the 1 o'clock preaching, not because it's me. For any preacher that's up here, because the house of God is where you belong. You understand? Listen, for these services, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves, as some do. The Bible already knew you were going to do it before you do it. You understand? The Bible already said people were going to do it before they do it. So why do it? This is the place where we grow. This is the place, you know, where we hear, you know, what the Lord would have for us. I mean, just imagine if I would have missed the preaching that went on this morning. At the 11 o'clock and such. My God. You know, here's how I know that preacher was right. Because I was that person. I mean, I didn't get the snuff video. I mean, God had grace on me. I didn't get to the snuff videos. But I'll tell you what. I bet you I was pretty close to that with that pornography. I was addicted. I mean, it was a sickness. It was miserable. I was even to it when I first met Amy. I was still into it. That's how long I was into it for. Many, many years I suffered with that disease. I call it a disease because it's a disease. It's a sickness. It corrupts people's minds and hearts. I mean, it comes to a point where there's just no satisfaction anymore. And if you are getting satisfaction out of it, beware. Because it's only going to last for a little while, I guarantee it. I'm 42 years old. I was in it for many, many years. I just thank God he was merciful to me. Thank God for that deliverance. Thank God I don't have that stuff in my head or my heart anymore. Do I get tempted? Of course. I get on the computer. This stuff pops up. Amy witnessed a couple years ago when I had the Bible, the Sunday school downstairs. Me and her went on the computer to look for some church Bible, some Sunday school material. I don't use that now. I use a King James Bible, not material. But we looked for the material for a Sunday school class, and what popped up, man? Porno. Straight hardcore porn when I punched in Sunday school material. Pornography came up on my computer. Straight hard. I'm like, oh. I called Amy right away. I said, Amy, I want you to see this. This is not me. I didn't do this. Look what I punched in. She seen the search engine. And she realized, wow. So I said, can you please fix? Because I'm not computer wise. Fix it where, you know, we have some words in there that it won't allow anything to pop up for that such thing. Because why? Like an old drug addict, like an alcoholic. I'm telling you, if you're not careful and I'm on point and I'm guard, you'll be way back into it again.
Right.
I gotta guard my heart more than the normal man. Why? Because I was addicted to that stuff. I have to watch my eyes. I gotta watch what I'm hearing because anything can set that back off and I could be off and running again. I'm afraid of a lot of things in life because I just don't want to be back into that stuff again. You know, God has brought me a long way. God forbid if I had to fall back into that stuff again. I never want to be back there again. I just don't. You guys live your life the way you want, but I'm just telling you now, I don't want to be back where I was. I don't want to be the person I used to be. I don't want to have that hatred and that bitterness and that anger and the life that I live. I don't want none of it back. None of it. Please, Lord, I always tell them, please, don't ever turn me to myself. Take me out of this world before you turn me back to myself. Take me out of here. I don't want to be in it again. It was a miserable life. Do we go through hard times now? Yes, we go through very hard times now. But I'd rather go through these hard times with Jesus Christ than any hard time I ever went through in the whole world. I mean, it just was a horrible way. Anyway, so this is part two of last week. Now, I'm just telling you, I did a series before. I think it was 7 verses. I'm doing this series here, and it's out of 3 verses. There's a whole Bible to be explored here, people. I mean, there's some stuff in this Bible that will transform your life. I'm preaching on 3 verses, 2 weeks, 3 verses. I did it before in the book of Proverbs. I think it was maybe 5 or 6 verses out of just 1 chapter. And you can preach a whole series on this stuff. Why? Because it's just loaded with that kind of stuff God has given us. I mean, loaded. But what do you want to do with it? People say, well, I've read the Bible. How did you read it? You read it one time, got bored and threw it out? I mean, how did you really sit down every single day? Get into it. Let God talk. I mean, you got to get into it and read it. You got to get into it and give it a chance. You can't just read it once or twice, get bored with it, and toss it off. It's not going to work that way. You got to get in there with an open heart, just with an open heart, and just try to get in your life every single day. My wife has an app. She's gotten to the point where she gets up every day. I'm not boasting. She prays and reads every single morning before she does anything. That's just her. But she has an app on her phone that sends her a daily verse every day. So she's getting it. You see what I mean? So she, and the verses stick with her throughout the day. She'll look at me and go, that's what I just needed to get through for that day. That's just the verse I needed for that day. You know what? You're missing out on that. If you're not reading the Bible every single day, you're missing out on something that God may be just trying to show you to get you through that day. And that's just the truth. That's something I found out. But anyway, Isaiah 30. I'm going to be back in there. And I'm going to finish up part two of this. Last week was good. I mean, God's just been good. And just a whole life. I mean, a whole life out there for us, Brother Jim. I mean, just He gives us a life. I now have a life that I never thought possible. Maybe I stress that a lot because I feel like people may not understand it. I was telling my Sunday school kids this morning. I said, you guys don't understand. I didn't have the love. I didn't have the companionship that most people do. I didn't have the closeness in a family. I didn't have people treat me the way I should be treated. I didn't have that in my life. And therefore, I'm enjoying what I have it now. Amen. I shed tears. I have a heart for my wife. I'm lovey-dovey with my wife and my kids and that. Why? Because I've never had that, and I enjoy having it. So you call me what you want. That's fine with me. I'm man enough to take it. I've been called a lot of things. But I'm going to enjoy being lovey-dovey, holding my wife, hanging on her, being lovey-dovey with my kids and all that. Why? Because I enjoy having that because I've never had it before. The Lord gave that to me as a gift for me to enjoy. You guys don't have to enjoy it. I'm going to. I told my Sunday school kids I didn't grow up with that. That's one of the miracles that Jesus Christ did in my heart. He gave me compassion for my family. He gave me love for my family. He gave me a desire for me to want to be even around my family. Man, we know that sometimes it can be hard to be around your woman all the time. And you know, God had to work a miracle in a man's life to be able to go out there seriously and be able to take care of a wife. Now, right now, financially, I may not be able to take care of my wife, but I think the Lord answered the prayer, don't you think? I think, you know, sometime soon here it's going to happen. I'm going to be back out there, man. I'm not getting on the SSI train right now. I'm not getting on that kind of stuff. You know what? Will I ever? Maybe one day. Maybe one day my body just won't be able to take it. But until then, I'm going out. Why? I have a family sitting there. I want to take care of my family. You know how good that makes me feel? Pastor, you also say, I used to think hunting and that kind of stuff made me a man in my family. It didn't make me a man in my family. It made my wife look at me different than other men because I would go out and get food for us, but that's not what we survived on totally. But she's seen a man go out there. She sees me. I got 5-6 plates in my neck, between my neck and my back. I don't know how many screws and everything else. And I go out there as a man in pain and work for my family. That's what I do. Why? Why? That's something the Lord put in my heart. I think you remember that day at Old Time Baptist. Just the Lord poured out, I mean, just poured my heart out and said, you go to work. Hey, you know what, people? Who cares if it's McDonald's? Who cares if it's Burger King? Who cares if it's 7-Eleven? I mean, get out there and do something. You got to start somewhere. People, you know, I'm going to get into that later. I'm not going to get ahead of myself. I'm just saying, man, you know what? We're men. We should be out there working. I don't care what kind of job is. Your woman will look at you better working any kind of job than working none.
Amen.
Just telling you, my wife looks at me more of a man now. That I'm out there working instead of bringing home $600 a month for what? To squeeze by and every, no, it just didn't work that way, you know? So anyway, God put me in her life just to help take care of her, man. To love her and my children, to serve the Lord, to teach my children spiritually, teach her spiritually, and she does me. I'm not afraid to say this, my wife is my backbone. She just is a backbone for me. She has been a strength to me, second to none in everything that I do. Just everything. You know, she's been patient with me as I'm learning how to be a husband. Been patient with me as learning how to be, a father. Been patient with me at learning how to, you know, be a Sunday school teacher and, you know, do 1 o'clock service and that. My wife has been there and been patient through it all. Through it all. When you guys turn around and go home, my wife goes home with me. She knows. She deals with it. She lives with it. I thank God for her, man. I thank God for my wife and her help. And, hopefully one day I'll be able to take that burden off of her. Where if she doesn't want to work, she doesn't have to. I can do it myself. She said it would drive her crazy sitting home not doing nothing. I said, well, if the Lord opens the door, you can do part-time or something. But if you open the door, I would love to just maybe for a year or two to be able to stand out there on my own. Who knows what the Lord wants to do with her? I have no clue. But I just know that God put me in her life for a reason. And I'm going to stay there. I'm going to keep my mind as clean and pure as I can. Watch where my eyes are, you know, listen for where my ears are. It's a hard thing out there to do. Isaiah 30, verse 2. Started in verse 1, got through that, and we're going to be in verse 2. To strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and trust in the shadow of Egypt. Now, I just want you guys to please understand me. I'm not here to put anybody down, slander, cross. I'm not here to make fun of how your life is going or what you're doing. But I just need to preach this more than I need to preach it. My wife goes, aren't you afraid of what people are going to say? No, I don't care what people think of me or say about me. When God gives me something, I'm going to say it. Okay, that's just it. If I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. If I'm right, then I'm right. But I think the Lord laid this on my heart, so I'm going to put it out there. I don't worry about what people think of me. She goes, she asked me one time, hon, you know, doesn't it bother you that people don't stay for 1 o'clock service? It's not at all. God has who He wants in that church. I say, I like them rough. Look around. We're all rough kind of people, man. We're all rough around the edges, and this is the type of people I like. I'm not used to, little goody two-shoes. I like the rough people. I like them rough like this. This is what I ask the Lord to give me people, rough people. Why? I'm a rough person myself. Yeah. I'm rough. The Lord deals with me roughly. And you guys can handle things that I say. There's others that can't be here that couldn't handle the things that I say. Or other preachers say. But you guys can handle it. I like it. Yeah, you're rough too, Doug. I see you back there, buddy. Isaiah 30, verse 2 says, to strengthen the sons of Pharaoh and trust in the shadow of Egypt. I know God was talking to Israel here, but I believe that He was also showing a picture of the future and what was coming. Strengthen themselves in Pharaoh here is a picture of people turning to their government for help instead of God. I mean, Pastor hit a little bit on that this morning. And, people had just left God out of everything. People aren't even seeking God for help anymore. They're just instantly running down to go get help somewhere. They're just turning away from church houses. They're turning away from anything that the help used to come from. I mean, they're turning away from the ultimate, and that's God. Now, I understand there's people out there who need help. That's why I said I'm not here to slander anybody, put anybody down. But God is not on the forefront of anybody's mind anymore when it comes to help. I just tell you this right now. The Lord has had to teach me and my wife, go to Him first and then go somewhere else. Go to Him first and then go somewhere else. Because He's the one who's ultimately going to take care of it. He may just use somebody else to take care of it for us, but we need to go to Him first. Him first. For some reason, me and my wife just did not qualify for any help on social services whatsoever. And we tried hard because we were hurting bad. But we didn't qualify for anything. And God is taking care of us. That's right, brother. Amen. Am I right? That's the point we came to. We're like, you know what? God is taking care of us. And wasn't always us, through our church, our friends, and our family, we've been taken care of. God has figured out a way for us to take care of and no social services whatsoever. I'm not putting that down for anybody who needs it. But I'm just telling you now, God wouldn't open that door for us at all, would He? No. People are running to the government instead of turning to God. They're trusting in their government's money to support them over trusting God. Never has there been a time like now where more people live and trust and rely on their government to raise their family rather than look for the help of God. Could you imagine somebody really getting out there and trying to raise their family? I mean, somebody out there, if you're having babies and you have a wife and you shouldn't be sitting there collecting an SSI check or welfare or a food stamps. You need to get out there and get working. Get out there and get working. I mean, I see Chris struggling. I don't know how you do it, brother, but thank God He gave me the strength for you guys to do what you can do, man. 4 kids and working 1 job. I mean, that just takes a man to stand up and do what you got to do, man. Men won't do that these days. Look at it, sit back like I used to, Amy, and play video games and let you go out and work. I admire those women who can stay home and take care of their children and homeschool. I do admire that. Right now, God, because of my past, it's hard for me to get any kind of real job. I mean, don't get me wrong, McDonald's to me is a real job. I make good money there. Okay? And in a few weeks, I can stand up with anybody with the money that I'm going to make working for McDonald's. Okay? I'm just letting you know that right now. But that's not my point. My point is this. Right now, me and my wife are at a point where she has to work and support us. And we'll always be that way. Because as soon as I'm healthy enough, I'm out the door. I'm out the door. I'm going to work. And that's how it should be. But you know what? People are running down to Belmont. They're signing up. Quit. Just quit. If you need help, good. It's there to help you. Get off. Me and Amy's plan, Pastor knows, our plan was always to get off social services, wasn't it? Now, guess what? We're off of it. Has it been easy? No, it's hard. It's rough, but we're still off of it. And by God's grace, we won't have to be back on it again. That's what it was for. It was there to help somebody up, not for somebody to live a life on. Sorry, that's just the way it goes. I feel bad for the mothers out there who have children and the father won't stay there. It won't help them. But I'm just telling you, there's guys out there who make babies and don't stay with the baby's mom, and the moms are okay with that, because you know why? Because they get more food stamps. They get more welfare. There was a point they were cutting people off at 5 years. Now that's no longer in effect anymore. I mean, you got to stop. I mean, just the stuff has to stop here. I mean, people got to wake up and just see that this, what is going on here is not working. It's not working. It was never meant to be where it is today. Never. It just wasn't meant for young guys to sit around and do nothing. Help me. Don't you sit here and tell me, oh, I got this. So do I. I'm 42 years old. I've been ran through it all, man. I've had 6 surgeries, and who knows how many more have. If I can get out there and work, you can sure get out there and work. That's for sure. Don't tell me you can't work. You can work. You don't want to work. You got too many video games. I seen a guy, a kid, he had to be 17, 18, maybe 19, got a tax return, he had a job, lost it, he worked it for like 6 months, got a tax return. What was he standing in line doing, eh? Buying a $700 video game. I knew the person that knew. I said, well, does he have kids or girl? Yeah, he's got 2 kids, really. Does he have a job now? He doesn't have a job now. That's his tax return. He just blew it on a video game instead of giving it to his kids. That's what society has come to.
Right.
That's just what it is. And it's okay. People are okay with that. We continue to support them. We continue to allow that to be happening. It doesn't make sense to me. The government has opened a door that man cannot close by taking care of people for long times, rather than teaching them and training them and sending them back out to work and not take care of them. They say they have all these training programs in effect and this and that. I'm telling you now, it's a lie. The training programs mean absolutely nothing. I remember a time when me and my wife were getting welfare and this and that, that my wife had to go empty garbage cans a couple times a week. That's how we got our money. People are just getting it handed to them today. Oh, yeah, we got to go out and work. No, you don't. You call off every day. You don't show up. You can't even work for your own food stamps that are given to you. My wife went faithfully all the time. But yet we were under investigation and all that. I'm just saying. Listen, get these people out there, train them properly, and send them to work. But we've made it. Bob, we've made it so crazy for these people that they will refuse a job at McDonald's.
Right.
Society has set it up. Well, they want to go work at Burger King. No, I am not going to work there. I'm going to stay here and collect food stamps and welfare and everything else. They'll refuse a job. And the government allows them to do that down in Belmont. Get them out there and get them working, man. I don't care where it is. Arby's, Burger King, Tops, Giant. It doesn't matter how much. Listen, get them out there working. Let them move up and through the ranks. You can move up in a job. You don't have to stay in the same position if you don't want. And then as you move up and get experience, and go to somewhere else. Go somewhere else. Don't tell me. Listen, I work at McDonald's. I've been there. This year will be 3 years for me. And I'm here. When the Lord opens the door, when I do go back, I'm going to be a store manager. In less than 3 years, I'll be a store manager. Do you know starting pay is almost $60,000? That's what's going to be in my pocket. Work at McDonald's, but you're just too afraid to go out there because of your pride and get into McDonald's or a Burger King and work your way up.
Man.
I'm just saying, because society has allowed that to happen. The government has taken you and turned you into such a baby that you won't go out there and take any job that's thrown at you. You gotta be picky. You gotta be picky. And that's what the government has done. They've made people picky on what job they get out there and work. When I first started going back to work, where was I at? Amy, at the dog shelter, shoveling poop, did I not? At the SPCA, shoveling poop. That's what I did. That's where I worked. How long did I work there for? Quite a long time. I mean, it got to the point where it really just hurt my back. But I did it. I worked at the SPCA. How many of you guys in here that don't have a job right now are willing to go do that? You don't have to. Government will take care of you. Just go ahead and relax. Go ahead and just relax. Yeah, that stuff makes me upset. Because people won't rely on the government. There's people who need it. Don't get me wrong. There's people who absolutely just need it. But there's people who don't need it, who have it, that should be out there working. That's all there is to it. I don't cut corners. I'm just telling you, the Lord put this on my heart. I mean, this is just how it is. And society and the government has allowed this to continue to happen, and it still will. And wonder why we are such a broke broke nation. We spend it on war and welfare. And then we implement, I'm not even going to go there. I'm just saying, there's a lot to it. The government has opened a door that no man can close. They're taking care of people instead of training them, sending them back out to work, and they open a door for them to refuse jobs. The government has allowed these people to choose what and where and what they do. They have spoiled them so much they will refuse a job at McDonald's. They rely on the government to take care of them rather than a job and work their way up. They have opened a door now where people will refuse work and the government will take care of them. It's a wonder why they no longer look to God when they have a government they can trust in. People aren't trusting in God anymore, people. They're trusting in their government. I'm not saying, God says pray for our government. I'm not bashing our government. I'm bashing those who are taking advantage of it. God wants you to trust Him. And I don't go out there and give up your stuff. I'm not telling you to go out there and do that. But I'm just saying, we have become a society where we no longer trust God to help us with anything, that we just go running off everywhere else except for trusting Him and see what He might have for us. Okay, don't get me wrong. There's people who need it. And I thank God that there is that program for people who need it. But it has to be an end to it. It's not made to live on. Why? Because it hurts the next person. Do you know that's why? Me and my wife couldn't get on it. The lady told us, you know, really the reason is because people live on it now. We can't help people. There's people who actually live on it for the rest of their life. And therefore, those who need the help, that step up, they get a little boost, can't have it anymore. So they keep jacking this up and jacking that up. And I mean, we only missed it by a few dollars. That's what we missed it by, just a few dollars. I'm just saying, man, it's time for us to just take a look and say, you know what? It's time for some changes, man, but it's not going to happen because, you know, people just don't care about the things of God. 1 Timothy 2. I've never seen a society in my life. I told my wife this morning, it's funny, Pastor talked about the Amish. Do you know the Amish are more respected and more accepted than a Christian? You go ahead and tell somebody you're a Baptist. But tell them you're Amish, they're fine with that. They're okay with that. Oh, do you need help paying your bills? Are you okay with this? I mean, it's okay to be Amish, but don't be a Baptist. I'm just telling you how it is. People, they don't mind you being, oh, you're Amish? Okay, well, you know, blah, blah, and they treat you a certain way. You go, yeah, I'm a Baptist. Oh, really? Oh, you're one of those guys, huh? Oh, gosh, you got to jack the price up. I mean, they're just crazy when they hear you're a Baptist. They tell me, you know, ask when I'm at the hospital, what religion are you? Not religion, I'm Baptist. Oh, Baptist? Don't they do that? Baptist? You know, they look at us like, I got my head just roll off my shoulder. Yeah, I'm Baptist. Yeah, King James Bible, believe me. Yes, that's what I am. They think it's just, anyway, 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 3. I exhort thee, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayer, intercessions, and giving thanks be made to all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godly. And honestly, I just wanted to put that out there because I'm not bashing our government. I do pray for my government every day. I pray for the president, I pray for our government, I pray for our policemen, our firemen, EMT. So I'm not bashing the government. What I'm trying to tell you is that people are looking to the government more than they are God. And people are relying more on the government than they are God. And that's where we got things twisted here in America. It used to be a time there was no program like that. Americans made it just fine. Why? They relied and trusted on God. Can it be that way again? I don't know. Society has gotten so far and so deep into this thing, I just don't know if it ever could come out of it. The only way it would be able to come out of it would be God. But people, you know what? The second way out of it was people need to start taking a stand and getting these people. Listen, as Christians, as believers, we need to help these young people understand that they need to go out and work. They need to work a job to support a family. Don't I stress that all the time to you, Luke? Luke, if you ever want to have a wife and take care of a family, you need to get out there and work. You're going to work now. You're going to work when you get married. Don't get married if you can't work. Don't do it. Don't have babies. Just leave all that right where it is. Don't do any of it if you ain't going to go out there and work, guys. Any guys. Don't do it. If you're not going to be a man enough to go out there and take care of the woman, then just leave it all alone. Leave it alone. There's too much of that garbage going on now. Work. Work now. Volunteer somewhere. Go to church somewhere. Volunteer. Go to, you know, SBCA will let you volunteer for 2 weeks. They'll let you do it. Go volunteer. Do something. Get yourself into doing something. Stop sitting home. Put the video games away. Do something. Ask your mom and dad, what can I do? What can I help you with? You need to start doing that. Why? Because that's going to go with you when you get out there. I stress that with my kids, especially him. He knows what I mean. It's time to work. That's it, son. I had a lot of issues with Luke not wanting to work and this and that. So that's it. It's over. You're going to work. We're working. You're doing it.
Amen.
That's it. Why? Because I want him to be a man. There's already boys out here in this world that call themselves men. It's time for men to be men. Raise up and be a man. Be something. Isn't what the Bible says? Be a man first. That's what the Bible says. Be a man first. I'm not a perfect man, but I'll tell you what. Since I got saved, I became a man. I became a man. Just because I fought and did drugs and you know, did all that. That didn't make me a man. Because people were afraid of me and I robbed them. And all. That didn't make me a man. What makes me a man now is staying here, loving my wife and my kids, getting into the King James Bible, raising my family this way, coming to church, loving the things of God. That's what makes you a man. Not because you can fight or sell drugs or intimidate people and all that stuff. You ever try to intimidate me, I'll show you a thing or two. I like when somebody tries to intimidate me. I like that kind of stuff. And if you think I'm playing, go ahead and step up to the plate. Might not like what you get. I like it. Just because I'm, listen, I tell the people this all the time. I wasn't always a safe person. You've known me for 6 years. I'm a nice guy. But go ahead and cross a line one time. You might not think that I'm so nice. You don't know me before my salvation. You only hear of things. I'm just telling you this now. God has got a line. I'd really like to stress this point. Is what takes a person like Pastor Randall, Mike Rizzuti, me, and other guys, and changes our hearts. I mean, what gets into people like us and changes our lives, the way we think, the way we do things, our hearts? I mean, we're ex-convicts, mean, I mean, carrying guns, and I mean, just doing all this crazy stuff. What is this that has come into our life that changed all that in us? That we'll get up here and love people in the Bible. That we'll get up here and love strange people. That we'll get up here and just our lives will be changed. What do you think it's in? Do you think it's just a game? This is something that we just play with? I'm talking about hardened criminals. Hardened criminal. Who's a hardened criminal here besides me? I mean hardened. Who's been to prisons and jails and rehabs many, many, many times. What do you think gets into a man's heart like me and changes it? Pastor, it was never the compassion of my mother. It was never the compassion of walking away of three other kids. I walked away from three other kids with them with tears in their eyes. That compassion that they had for me didn't change my heart. There's something deeper than that. And that's why I say it's a miracle that happened inside Dale Morey. A miracle that changed that. Why? You think it's because I'm getting older? I ain't got nothing to do with it. Broke up or not, trust me, I have the same mind. Okay, I just have a different heart. I have a different way I think of things. I have a different outlook on life. I don't know how I got on that, but I'm just telling you. God is good, man. He can change. This is not a joke. This is not something that should be taken lightly. The Christian life is something serious. God died for Christian life. He died to save somebody, so why shouldn't we take it serious? Why is it just a joke to everybody? Why is it okay to be Amish and atheist and everything else, but you can't be a Christian? I mean, doesn't that seem a little funny to anybody, or is it just me that thinks that's funny? Just me that thinks that this is crazy that you can be whatever you want, but go ahead and say you're a Christian, and you're like, I mean, you got a big target on your back. And that's why a lot of people profess to be Christian in church houses, and when they leave that here. They don't want to take that mark with them. Mark me. I've been marked before, man. I've been marked by this world. I'm not afraid to get marked by Jesus Christ. I'm not afraid to get my head bashed in and all that stuff. Been there and done that. Been stabbed, shot at, and all that stuff. That stuff does not make me afraid. Even as a saved person, I'm not afraid of it. So if I stood that hard for the world, why would I not stand that hard for Jesus Christ? I mean, seriously. That's why it's serious that we need to teach these young people. Now we have young people in here. We have young people in here that we can influence them with the King James Bible in our lives. And they can see what is going on. And these people, they can have a life. A life. Spared of the nonsense that us adults went through. I'm afraid to say it, but it is what it is. You know, the cycle's going to break right here for me and my family, but that's as far as it goes right here. As far as it goes right here. Unless other people stand up and want it. You know, unless other people stand up and want it. I can't change, you know, you can't change people's lives. They don't want to hear about it. They'd rather sit in their misery and depressions and drugs and, I mean, just the vile stuff. They'd rather stay in that and play in it than have a good, changed, clean, healthy life. Just it don't make sense. You know where I was at? I was there. I got preached to by pastors and the people he brought in for over 4 years I got preached to, just being a knucklehead. But there was a point where I did buckle down. I started studying my Bible. Why? Because salvation is the only thing that I really wanted. That's what I really wanted. I wanted to be saved. I wanted a new life. I no longer wanted to treat my children or my wife, my wife, the way I did. I no longer wanted to have, the burden. I wish you could have, if I could have just gave you my burden and the weight of what I have done in my past, if I could have just gave that to you for one day. One day, here, you feel mine. You'd see why I'm full of joy. You would see why I live my life the way I do, because I don't have that anymore. I just don't have that anymore. So therefore, I live my life differently. I'm a different, changed person, and I like that. Why? I don't have them chains on me anymore. They've been cut off, man. It's done. It's over. Settled. It's the first sentence. The first sentence I'll ever enjoy, Pastor. Bam! You're saved. You're going to eternity. Huh? That's the judgment I got now. And I'm happy with it. I'm ready to go serve for eternity. We are to pray and be subject to all who are over us, but not to the point where we no longer look to God. And America's at that point. America's at that point where they're not looking and praying to God anymore. They're looking and praying to anything they can. They're looking and praying. They're turning to the government. And you're just turning it. And they have no cares and concerns anymore about the things of God. America has become a very vile place. Isaiah 30, verse 2, and trust in the shadow of Egypt. America is trusting in the shadow of Egypt, a picture of the world. People are foolishly putting all their trust in their lives and their eternity into things of this world. The world has them so blinded with riches and quick fixes and temple pleasures and fulfilled lusts, pills and alcohol, that people never think about their eternity anymore. They are so blinded by who thinks about their eternity anymore? Who thinks about my life is going to end and where am I going to go? Who is thinking about that? Who out there in the world today, you can see by the empty pews, they're not thinking about it. They're not worried about it anymore. And it's not just the empty pews here in Black Creek. You go to Baptist churches today and see how many pews are empty. Why? Because people aren't worried about their eternity anymore. All they're worried about is the now and now. Today. Right this second. Today. They don't care about eternity. Why? Because the things of God are not anywhere in America. It's a hard thing. And just from sitting under pastor and the teachings, it's a hard thing to even find a true Christianity being preached in Baptist churches anymore. Sad. It's sad that when churches start taking God out of churches. It's sad when they start taking salvation, true, repentant salvation out of churches, and they start using all this crazy stuff to try to get people to come for what? To preach an NSAVB on them? That stuff isn't going to work. I studied different versions. It never changed me. I told Amy the other day, I used to have a Bible that had King James on one side and NIV on the other side, and then I had ASVB next to me, and then I had a strong concordance. And I'm going to tell you what, not one of them. Not having those different versions, the one that stuck out to me the most was always the King James. And I just told, when I met her when I first got out of prison, I said, I'm a King James Bible reader. That's really what I was. Whatever I did read, I was a commentary person. I really am. I'm just telling you. I asked Amy, I came out just firing stuff at her. She's like, man, you know a lot of Bible. No, I know a lot of commentaries. Hundreds of commentaries I read in 5 years. But a King James Bible. King James Bible is the answer. It's the way. I'm just telling you now, the King James, it's no wonder why everybody wants these other perversions out there. I don't call them versions. I call them perversions, because that's what they are, a perversion of the King James Bible. I'll tell you what, no life-changing, it's in the King James Bible. I'm just telling you right now, there's nothing that will make you look at yourself more than a King James Bible. It will make you face who and what you really are. And that's what America doesn't want. Did everybody hear me? That's not what America wants. That's not what anybody in this church wants, is to see what you really are. That's why we don't read our King James Bible. That's why we like to just leave it alone. And we'll come on Sundays and maybe Wednesday here to preach, but we won't touch our Bible any other week. Why? You don't want to see what you really are. You don't like that. Am I the only one that went through that? The Bible shows you what you are. It's going to give you the answer to how to solve your problems. It's pretty cut and dry where you're going to get your answers from. Right here. When the Bible started showing me where I was, the things that came to my mind, I just couldn't believe. I had to eat humble pie and go, you know what, Lord, you are absolutely 100% right. Amen. I just can't believe at this age that I'm that person. That's what I used to say. Oh, my God. Oh, is it still there? It's still there. But I have a different heart, different life. I'm different now. And trust in you. They don't put their, they don't have a care they stay, to stand with God. So sad that they put all the trust into something that is so temporal. The reality of life ending and where they spend eternity never crosses their mind until life has passed away and stand before holy and just God. And he bounds them and casts them into the lake of fire. Matthew 22:13. You know, God, people are quick to blame God on putting people in hell, Pastor. Oh, why did he do this? Why isn't he just to do this? Why didn't you turn your life over when you wouldn't be standing where you are today? They want to blame God for everything else, but they don't want to blame him for anything he's done good. They don't want to see that. They're real quick to judge him. They'll take care of him, though. You know, I tell a lot of people this. Just because you don't believe it don't mean it ain't true. That's a hard place to be. Just because you don't believe it don't mean it ain't true. Because I'd hate to be in your shoes. 22 verse 13. Now I say yes. Then said the king, their servants, bind them hand and foot, and take away, and cast them into the outer darkness, to be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. That's right there, pictures. Jesus giving you a picture, or the Bible's giving you a picture of what's going to happen. You're not going to just voluntarily walk to hell. You're going to be bound hand and foot. They're going to tie you up and cast you.
Right.
Angels. Why? Because you're going to go away kicking and screaming and begging for mercy. Mercy's our, you know what mercy is? Now. Today's the day of salvation. Today. Now.
Yep.
This time. Right now. Your breath. The last breath you may take. Maybe right here. This is where grace is. This is where mercy is at. God is giving you a chance. You're sitting in this church right now for a reason.
That's right.
Oh, I'm here because of my friend. I'm here because of this. I'm telling you, you're wrong, son. I'm telling you, you're wrong, lady. Because you're here because Jesus Christ allowed you to be here right now. He could have took your breath away an hour ago and you wouldn't be sitting here today.
Right.
You guys think you have control of your life. You go ahead and think that. That's foolish. God orders the step of every man, whether you want to admit it or not. Now, it's your own stupidity you get yourself into, but I'm just telling you now, it's by God's grace and mercy that you sit here in the Black Creek Baptist Church right now. You know, maybe one day, whoever's lost in here, maybe one day you'll get saved and realize how merciful and long-suffering he really was to you. Because I know for over 40 years he was that way to me. He should have took me out. I deserved it. Do you think I ever sit there and go, oh yeah, my past life was great. I mean, I just did good. It was wonderful. Never. You'll never hear that come out of my mouth, ever. Nothing I ever did in the past was anything good. And that's not because pastor tells me that or this. That's what my heart told me. That's what God showed me. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ sat there in his Bible one day and showed me out of the, I can't think of it. He showed me that my sins and the things that I've done will profit me none. God, how come I can't think of where it's at? Anyway.
Job.
I mean, it has done me no good. My past life did me no good. How many of you honestly can sit here and with all your heart and just say, you know what, my past has done me no good? You know what? You ain't got to say it to impress me. God knows your heart. He knows you're the liar. But how many of you in your real heart can sit here today and say, my past has done me no good? Matter of fact, where I'm heading right now has done me no good. Matter of fact, the path I'm on right now is doing me no good. How many in your real heart can say that in your real heart and mean that? Don't try to impress anybody in here because you know what? God sees your heart. He knows if you're lying or not. You ain't got to worry about me. I don't care what's in your heart. I don't even want to see what's in your heart. I got enough of my own heart to deal with. I don't need yours too. Verse 3. I'm going to try to get through this in 5 minutes. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh, Isaiah 30, verse 3, the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. This is where America stands today because Americans have taken the Bible and God out of their hearts, homes, schools, government, and their lives. Trusting in the government and this world has destroyed America and how it is used to stand, how it used to stand on God. Living and trusting in these things has brought America such shame. Our standards have been lowered. Things we used to fight against, we now fight for. Things we used to not allow in our homes or lives, we now fight to put them in. It has wrought much confusion, pain, suffering, and damage in our lives. And it has not improved it. It has not improved. Listen, the way America is, the way we have run things, the way we allow things, has not improved America at all. It has deteriorated horribly. Things we used to allow... has not improved it. In the book of James, we see this confusion. James 3:14-17. James 3. It's going to turn there. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every work. But the wisdom that is from above is pure and peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. This is caused by us trusting in our government and this world over trusting God and His Word. This thing that what's going on in America today, by taking God out of everything, including your homes and your own hearts as you sit here today, has wrought nothing from confusion. Confusion is not of God. The devil has got America and other countries. I'm not just saying America, but we live in America, so I'm going to deal with America. Has got us all blinded, thinking that we're okay without God. Right. It's got so much confusion going on that it's hard for people like me and others to see that we need God in our lives. When I first stepped foot in this church, I knew the King James Bible, but I didn't believe it. I didn't believe God like I do today. I mean, oh my gosh, the foolishness. If I could have just went back for all those years and got saved way back then, I would have done it. I would have traded everything my whole entire life to have been saved back then, but I wasn't, okay? But God had allowed me to go through those things for a reason. So I can stand here today and give you a testimony of what the truth of God really is, what Jesus Christ can really do for a person. I'm just telling you now, this King James Bible and believing in God has become such a force in my life. I mean, it has become such a I'm going to quote the Bible. Yeah, can you believe it? A precious cornerstone in my heart.
Amen.
Me and my wife pray for that. Become that love. Give us an unshakable love and faith. Is that what we pray? Give us that unshakable love and faith, Lord. That's what we want of you, that no matter what, I don't care how many mountains are shaking, I don't care what's going on in this world, but Lord, that you will give us unshakable faith to be able to stand on your word and stand on you and trust you. That's what me and my wife want for our life.
Amen.
This world does not want that. This is caused by trusting in our government and this world over trusting God and His Word. Confusion is of the devil. Wisdom is from God, and which America once used to have when they held strong to their belief in the King James Bible. America used to live on the King James Bible. Part of the let me finish reading. I'll get a hold of myself. Or get ahead of myself. They held the King James Bible. This wisdom in James 3:17. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, comes from God and not the government and not the world. At one time, our government believed in the King James Bible. It even helped the moral shaping of our Constitution. People fought for their rights, people fight for their rights in the Constitution and have no clue what went into writing it. Faith in the King James Bible tell the government and the world that you are called an enemy. Let me tell you something. The men who helped shape the morality of our Constitution believed and lived in a King James Bible. Now you have all these people, atheists included and all this, who will fight for their constitutional rights but have no clue, have no idea that most of that was written from men who believe a King James Bible.
Right.
If you go back and look at the Constitution and look at the morals and then go ahead and compare it to the Bible, you'll see the similarity. But yet they won't recognize that. They won't recognize that a King James Bible believing person helped write that Constitution by using the morals out of the Bible. They don't want to see that, though. But they'll fight for their rights. They'll fight for their constitutional rights. But forget the King James Bible. Forget God. Forget what this country was built on. Go back and read what this country was founded on. The beliefs and the morals. Go ahead. I'm going to finish right now. James 4:4, you adulterers and adulteresses. Know you not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. For our government pray for this world. For our government in this world pray, but live by your trust in God and His Word. And all else will fall into place. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I'm just telling you now, people, put the government second, put this world second, and put God first, and you'll have a difference in your life. God will transform you second to none, like you never thought possible. I'm just telling you now. Put this world and put other things behind you and put God first. This is how America was started, and I'm just telling you now, this is where your life can end, and I'm telling you, it won't be a life that you'll much regret. You will not regret living a Christian life. I promise you that. And I'm done, Pastor.
Amen.